This morning's sermon title is Hearts of Stone. Now, we have been using from a sermon series called Stones, and we are halfway. You know that? We are halfway there. We are right in the middle, okay, between Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. So everybody got their stone with them? You all have your stones? You got them? You've been carrying them stones every week. For our visitors, it's a sermon series where we're going to hand out some stones. It's a little pebble, a little black stone you carry with you all week long, okay? And kind of think about sin in your life, because that's what Lent's all about. We're thinking about, you know, what our lives are like and our relationship to Jesus Christ, because we're moving towards Good Friday when Christ was crucified, right? He was crucified for our sins. So this was a way for us to kind of remind ourselves during the week. You put it in your pocket, you put it in your purse. Men put it in their pockets and stuff like that. And then you kind of, every once in a while, you reach in to get a quarter and you feel that stone in there and you go, oh yeah, there's sin in my life. There's sin in my life. Well, this morning's sermon is entitled Hearts of Stone. And we're going to be reading out of Luke, the 11th chapter. And there's a lot of stuff there, a lot of meat there, and we're going to go through this. And actually, the sermon's on hypocrisy. Anybody know what hypocrisy is? Or anybody know what it'd be, a hypocrite? You know what it is to be a hypocrite? I guess sometimes we're all hypocrites every once in a while. You know, it happens. A hypocrite, Bob, what are you smiling about? You have this big smile on your face. But hypocrisy, it happens, right? What is hypocrisy? It's maybe doing the right things, all right, all the right things. What I'm going to read from the scripture here, the Pharisees and the scribes did all the right things. They kept all the rules, but their heart wasn't in it, right? Their heart wasn't in it. Jesus looked into their hearts and he said, wait a minute. What are you guys doing? So from the 11th verse, or the 11th chapter, starting the 37th verse of Luke, we're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, starting in verse 37. Allow me to read this. Now when he had spoken, a Pharisee asked him to have lunch with him. And he went in and reclined at the table. This is Jesus. After he had spoken, one of the Pharisees came to him and said, Rabbi, come and have lunch with me. You ever had somebody say, come have lunch with you? You know, you go down to a restaurant somewhere and you sit around and you eat that food and you have fellowship together. So that's what was going on here. Kind of paint that picture a little bit. And he went in and reclined at the table, right? Went in, sat down, got his chair, right? Ready to eat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he was surprised that he, Jesus, had not first ceremonially washed before the meal. But the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside of you, you are full of robbery and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give that which is within as charity, and then all things will be cleaned for you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and of every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and the love of God. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the chief seats in the synagogues. Excuse me. And the respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like concealed tombs, and the people who walk over them are unaware of it. One of the lawyers said to him in reply, Teacher, when you say this, you insult us too. But he said, Woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh men down with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and it was your fathers who killed them. So you are witnesses and approve the deeds of your fathers, because it was they who killed them, and you build their tombs. For this reason also, the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill, and some of them they will persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets since the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the house of God. Yes, I tell you, it shall be charged against this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you hindered those who were entering. And when he left there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to be very hostile and to question him closely on many subjects. This will be the only scripture we're going to look at today, because there's a lot there, and we're going to take it apart piece by piece. Hypocrisy. That's what they're charged with. Hypocrisy. The scribes and Pharisees were hypocritical. They were doing all the right things. They had the Word of God. They had the Old Testament. And they were following it to the very minutest detail. But their hearts weren't in it. Their hearts weren't in it. Now, in the beginning of this reading, Jesus went in and sat down, right, without washing his hands. How many moms have told their kids, did you wash your hands before you eat? Right? Moms? And then what do the children say? Well, yeah. With all the dirt under their fingernails, right? Huh? Moms have seen that. But what we're looking at here is there was ceremonial washings that had to be done. But the scribes and the Pharisees added this extra hand washing, okay? Because they kept adding to the laws of God. They kept adding to the ceremony. And Jesus wanted to trip them up in that. He wanted to try and get them to understand they were being hypocritical. So he went and sat down and he didn't wash his hands. It wasn't part of the ceremony to wash your hands before you eat, but they made it that way. They were adding to it. And Jesus called them out on it. That's a hypocritical heart, okay? There's enough laws out there. There's enough rules that we need to follow. Say the Ten Commandments, okay? We don't have to add to them. We don't have to make little extra sidebars to do so that you can be holier than thou. And that's what they were doing. They wanted to prove to everybody that they were so holy, they were so perfect, they were following every little instance of the law that they even added something. Well, you got to wash your hands before you sit down and eat. And Jesus didn't want any part of that. Jesus came to fulfill the law, and that's what he was going to do. And he tried to get them to see. What other part of the law did they, they look at? Well, he's looking at the hand wash, and he says, now you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup, right? Clean the outside. And the platter, you clean that, but inside you are full of robbery and wickedness. That was the hypocrisy. That was the problem that they had. They were following all the rules for the wrong reason. How often do we do that? Do we follow the rules for the wrong reason? What were they doing? They did it for show. That's what hypocrites do. Deep inside, they go, you know, I don't really like that person. I like to pick on people while I'm preaching, but I won't pick on any of the visitors. Okay, I'm going to pick on Bob, because Bob's easy. Yeah, there's Bob, smiling Bob. Okay? I really like you, Bob. And I'll come and I'll pat him on the back, and I'll tell him how wonderful he is. And how nice his whiskers look. Okay, but deep inside, you know, I don't really care for Bob. You know, I don't like the way his beard grows. I don't care for Bob. I think he needs better glasses. And you know, he's starting to get a receding hairline. I don't know if I really like that. That's what hypocrisy is about. You know what I mean? If you love someone, then truly mean it. Okay? We got a whole world full of hypocritical people. You know what I mean? They will tell you to your face how wonderful you are, and then turn around 5 minutes later and gossip about you. That's hypocrisy. That's sin. And Jesus wanted nothing to do with it. So he's calling these scribes and Pharisees out. And why? Because they were the religious leaders. They were the pastors. They were the lawyers. I don't think we have any lawyers in here. Any lawyers? Oh, we have insurance salesmen, though. I'm not picking on you. It's a good thing. But they were supposed to be the leaders. They were supposed to set the example. And what did they do? They held everybody to the laws. Okay, you're going to do this law. You're going to do this law. No, you're not doing that law right. Ho, ho, ho. Get in here. Maybe we're going to have to beat you a little bit. They were supposed to be the ones that were teaching. They were supposed to be the ones showing love. And they weren't. They didn't care. They just wanted to follow the rules. Because they thought by following the rules, implicitly, they were good with God. But Jesus is saying to them, you don't really love God. I can look into your heart. You're not loving God. So following all those rules mean nothing because there's no love. What about love for the fellow man? I remember this in other scriptures, the scribes and the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, I think it was a lawyer said it, Master, what's the greatest commandment? Because they were trying to trick him. And what did Jesus say? He said, you are to love your God with all your heart. And then he added, the second one is just like it. You're to love your fellow man as yourself. All the prophets, all the laws hang on those two laws. Love God, love others. And in the end, Jesus had go. And that's what we're all about here at the Heart of Christ Church. We love God, amen. We love others, amen. And we go, amen. We go out and tell people about the love of God. Well, let's continue on and look at this. But inside of you, you are full of robbery and wickedness. Robbery and wickedness. I dare say they were probably using some of the laws to enrich themselves. Right? They put burdens on other people that they couldn't bear. You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? He's telling them. He's asking them. He's putting it forth. Didn't God create the outside of you? So he also created the inside. Give God the glory. They weren't doing that. It was lip service. Hypocrisy. How many times in your life have you got lip service from someone? Oh, think about it. Somebody's patting you on your back going, oh, Dave, yeah, you're really good. You're really nice, you know. And I can't see his face. He's going, oh, yeah. Webster's an idiot, right? And he's mumbling in the back of his mind, you know. Lip service happens all the time. We get it from our politicians. We get it from our kids. We get it from our aging parents. A little lip service here and there. Happens all the time. But Jesus said, where is your heart? Where is your heart in all of this? So he's talking to the religious leaders. But then he said to him, he said, give that which is within as charity, and then all things are clean for you. He was saying to them, clean up the inside. Clean up your heart. Get right with God. Get right with the people around you. But you got to start with God first. You know what I mean? If you don't get the inside clean, okay, by confessing to God and loving God and putting God first, there's always going to be that dirtiness in there. So how do you get right with someone around you if you're not right with God? Once you're right with God, the Holy Spirit indwells you and then gives you the power to be right with other people. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's tough to be right with other people, isn't it? Sometimes you have to tell them with the love that, hey, I don't like your lip service. I don't like you going behind my back and gossiping about me. I don't like what's going on. Know what I mean? Sometimes you just have to stand up in love, not in anger, not in bitterness, but stand up in love and say, hold on a minute, let's stop. I want a right relationship with you. I don't want to be hypocritical. Sometimes you got to call somebody a hypocrite to their face in love, okay? And then be ready to duck the swing, right? Okay? People don't want to be told the truth. They really don't. Sometimes I don't like it. Sometimes you don't like it. It's understandable. But to be a true Christian, to really be real in this false world of all the crap that's going on around us, sometimes it hurts a little bit. But it's just like tearing a Band-Aid off a wound a little bit. It only hurts for a little bit, and then you grow in it. The scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't want to grow in it. They just wanted to have everything status quo. Everything's good for us, you know what I mean? We're making money. Man, we're in charge. I got this really good robe. You know, I get to sit in the really nice seats in the synagogue, you know what I mean? Everybody gets to look at me. Oh, look at Dave Webster. Isn't he a pastor? Oh, he's a pastor's pastor, right? They liked that. They liked all the greetings in the marketplace. You know what I mean? You're walking down, just going down to get yourself some burritos or something, you know? Maybe some, let's see, what's a good, I'm thinking of sausage and cabbage, you know what I mean? I'm going down to the store and get me some sausage and cabbage, you know what I mean? And you're in the supermarket, you're in the marketplace, somebody goes, hey, there's Pastor Dave. Oh, yeah. I am Pastor Dave, right? That's what they were doing. That's what they were doing. They liked all those great greetings and everybody high-fiving them, low-fiving them, maybe a fist bump. Oh, yeah. You know? And Jesus is going, no, that's not what's it. That's not what's going on here. You shouldn't be looking for that. You shouldn't be looking for that because that was the reason they were doing it. Wrong reason. Hypocrisy. Following all the right rules for the wrong reason. Here's another rule. But woe to you Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and of every kind of garden herb. Okay? Garden herbs, very cheap. Okay? They tithed everything. All their income coming in, these scribes and Pharisees, we're going to make sure that we give a tenth. Whoop, tenth of the... And the lady that was taking care of the garden, Bertha, right? Bertha, make sure you bring in a tenth of all those garden herbs. We got to give them to the temple. You know what I mean? And then tell everybody, hey, I even tithe my herbs. Heck, I even tithe the grass clippings. And the weeds, yep, God gets a tenth of them. Yeah, I'm doing everything right. Lord, I'm so glad you didn't make me like the rest of those sinners. You know what I mean? That sort of attitude. And as Pastor Scritch says, wrong chicken. I bet you they even tied the tenth of their chickens. So they take a chicken and they cut it into 10 parts and give a tenth, right? I wonder which tenth they gave. But they were following all those rules. So even down to the herbs. And he says, and yet you disregard justice, the love of God. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. Jesus said, you need to follow the laws, you need to follow the rules, okay? But for the right reason. For the right reason. He said, you know, do this, tithe, but don't neglect the love of God. Don't neglect the love of others. And that's what they were doing. You know what I mean? They would just walk through the marketplace. I read a story about they were called the Bleeding Pharisees. The Bleeding Pharisees. True story. They were so righteous and hypocritical, they would put blinders on. They'd wear these headdress with blinders, right? So they could see in front of them because they wanted to walk down that road and not look at Dan the sinner. They want to see Dan the sinner. Or Marion. Oh my God, there's another sinner. Don't look. Oh, I'll be ceremonially unclean. Don't look. Don't look at those sinners. What did Jesus do? He went right to where the sinners were. And the rabbis and the Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't like that. Well, if he's doing it, does that mean we have to do it? Yeah. We're to be like Christ. He said, I came to find those who were lost. To find those who were lost. Can you imagine the people all around you, in your families, your friends, your workplace, the people you run into, who are lost, who are dying, spiritually dying? And you may be the only Bible they ever see. Don't be hypocritical. Be that person. Be Christ in their lives. Be there for them. They need it. Now, sometimes they might not be receptive to your message. Okay? Love them anyway. Love them anyway. You know what I mean? You can gather more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. Be nice to them. Love them. Even when they're miserable. How many miserable people do you have in your life? Do you ever wonder why they're so miserable? I mean, they are just downright unhappy. I mean, if you gave them a Twinkie, they'd want a Hostess cupcake. Do you ever run into people like that? Man, I run into people like that. Doesn't matter. Sometimes I run into people like that. Boy, there was times when I was a serviceman for Med-Ed. I'd go out and I'd go and try and help somebody who didn't have power, right? You get there and this person is mad. They're not mad at me per se, but they're mad at Med-Ed. They're mad at the electric company. Guess what's on the side of my truck? Med-Ed. Man, talk about walking into a hornet's nest. Oh, man, I've had some of them call me all kinds of names I can't even repeat in church. I mean, terrible names. I just stand there and take it, right? Not smiling, just kind of keep a straight face. They want to vent, and that's what people want to do. They want to vent, especially the hypocrites. They want to vent, especially when you catch them in their hypocrisy. Let them vent. Let them get mad. That's what I do to that customer. I'd let them vent. Boy, I'd let them stomp around the yard. My electricity's off. What are you going to do about it? Your company sucks. And they're stomping around the yard. After it rained, usually it's when something like that happens. So the yard's all muddy. He's getting mud all over his shoes. He's stomping. He's mad. He's cursing, using the F-bombs. Woo! F-bomb. Woo! F-bomb. And then they'd use the Lord's name in vain. That's when I'd stop them. Hold it. Woo! Stop the train. That's my Lord and Savior. I'd stop them. And then I'd give them a little time to process that because, you know, I'm a company employee. They're like, who is this idiot? What is he talking about? Jesus Christ? Huh? What? And I give them time to process that. And I tell them, look, I'm here to help you. I mean, I'm standing between you and having electricity. So you keep using the Lord's name in vain, I'm going to walk over to my truck and take a break. And I'll come back when you calm down. And generally, after they got all that stuff out of them, their hypocrisy, their screaming, their yelling, they give me a chance for me to help them. And then I loved on them. And I got to admit, sometimes that didn't work. And the really bad ones that were really upset, I'm going to have to confess that sin before the Lord. I'd go, okay, fine, you want to play? Listen, and I'd needle them. Try and get them madder. Really get them off the deep end. Get them to where they're spitting and their face is all red and they're, and boy, if I can get them to cry, that was really great. So that wasn't the right way to be. But it did do it. It did happen. Well, I kind of get on a sidebar there a little bit. But you know what hypocrisy is. So let's get back to what we're looking at here. Well, we already covered the greetings in the marketplace. Remember the bleeding Pharisees? They put the blinders on. I think that's what would happen. You know what I mean? Somebody in the marketplace who they're not looking at because they got these blinders on. Hey, Pastor Dave! And you turn over and you run right into a post. Boom! Now you got blood coming out of your nose or a lip. You know what I mean? Run right into a post. Ugh. So they called them the bleeding Pharisees. Let's move on to the lawyers. Don't you just love lawyers? Huh? Lawyers are great. Lawyers are a lot of fun, unless they're after you. If they're there to help you, they're great. Okay? But if they're out to get you, it's not good. But Jesus is talking to the lawyers. Who are the lawyers? They were the scribes. They were the ones that dictated, that copied the scriptures. They wrote them letter by letter, okay? And they read that, studied the law, studied the Old Testament, studied. And they thought they were pretty smart. So one of the lawyers said to him in reply, "Teacher, when you say this, you insult us too. You're making me feel bad." Because deep down in the heart, they knew what they were doing. I mean, if anybody knows you, you know yourself. Even more so than your spouse, your best friend, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. You know who you are. You know what your heart is. Because you live with yourself. Now, there's a lot of delusional people out there who have no idea what they really are. They're just running in this fantasy land. But most of us here, we know who we are. We know where our hearts are. So Jesus goes to him and he says, "Woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh men down with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers." Well, the lawyers were constantly telling everybody, well, this is the law. It's a Sabbath. You're not allowed to work. You can't carry anything. You can't carry anything. But then they would figure out ways of, if they could carry it in the cuff of their pants, so to speak, or if they could carry it with their elbow, I don't know how they did that, but if they could carry a burden with their elbow, or maybe on the end of their hair, maybe tie a little knot there and hang something on there, you know, as long as they carried it in an unusual way, they said, well, that's okay. That's all right. You can carry it in an unusual way because you're not carrying it in the usual way. So they would skirt around these laws. They would make little sign addendums to get around it for themselves. But they would say, like the Tim Webster over there, they'd say, you can't be working on a Sunday. El wrongo. Don't be doing that. And he said, "Woe to you, to these lawyers, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and it was your fathers who killed them." They build these monuments to Moses, to other prophets. Oh, we got to remember them. Man, they were great prophets. Boy, that was way back a couple hundred years ago. Israel was really great. We were in charge of the world. We were a mighty nation. We need to build that tomb there for them and honor them. And it was their parents. It was their parents who killed the prophets. And they never learned anything from the prophets. Think about it. These lawyers had the scriptures. They had all the answers, right? And they locked them up for other people because they said, now I remember way back when I was growing up in the Roman Catholic Church, there was a time when the Catholic Church didn't want you, and I can say this out on the internet because it's, I'm not saying a lie, they didn't want you to read the Bible because they wanted the priest to interpret it for you, right? You weren't learned enough, right? Well, I figured why about 12, 13 or so, I'm reading the Bible, I'm going, well, I can read. That's one of my strong points. I like to read. I can read. I can read on how to fix my truck. You know, I mean, it's good to read, so I started reading. And they're saying, well, you can't interpret that. Whoa. And you look at them and go, did you get this right? Is that right? You know what I mean? So they had all these, all the scriptures. And they closed it off for other people and said, no, we'll interpret it for you. We'll read it to you so that you can understand it. Right? That's what they were doing. And the key to this entire book, both Old and New Testament, the key is to love God. That's the key. And they weren't telling that to the people. And Jesus said, wait, what are you doing? You have the key. Give the key, it unlocks the scriptures. The love of God. And he said, he said to him, you know, you won't use the key. You won't let anybody else use the key. You won't even go in. And you close the door for everybody else. Jesus said, that's wrong. Don't be doing that. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, we got the key. The love of God in our hearts. Here's the lock. We have the key to open it up and share these words with people. Little bits at a time. Share them. Hypocrisy. You ever wonder how much hypocrisy is in your heart? Think about it this morning. Am I hypocritical about someone in my life? And please don't forget yourself. Don't be hypocritical to yourself. All right? Don't think more of yourself than you should. I'm not saying to put yourself down, but we got a culture going on in this world where we got a whole generation of kids that were told that they are everything. Oh man, they are. Oh, they got a prize just for showing up. Right? Now they're out in the real world. They're starting to sue their colleges because they didn't get the job that they thought they should have got with their college education. They got all this debt. They can't deal with rejection. They can't deal with things going on in their life because they're hypocritical. You know what I mean? Let's not be hypocrites. Let's look at ourselves for who we truly are. Look at each other in love. And know that Dave Webster is going to mess up. I'm telling you right now so you know. So when I do it and you say, Dave, why did you do that? I told you it was going to happen. We're going to do it to each other. It's the way it works. We're sinners saved by grace. Sinners saved by grace. Sinners saved by God because He wanted to, because He loved us. I saved a little bit of my sermon at the end for all the people that are out on the internet. Now, we've been doing this for some time now, so you can jump on the internet and you can see this sermon again. You can share it with someone. But I want all the people that join us out on the internet, you know, if we've touched you in some way with these sermons and you've enjoyed this and you've learned something in some way, send us an email. Let us know that you're out there. Because our church isn't just this little church footprint here in Lebanon County. I believe now that we have a church that goes out into the world, the entire world. There's people in China looking at us, looking into it. What is Pastor Rich preaching? What is Pastor Dave preaching? What is that congregation doing in Lebanon County in Pennsylvania? So I want you just, if you have something that you want to send to us, send us an email. Get on our website, send something to us, let us know that you're out there. Say, hey, my name is Bob, Smiling Bob Bolts, and I'm way over here in Indonesia, right? And I just want to let you know that I like what I see. Or, if you don't like what you see, tell us. We can take criticism. We're Christians. We make mistakes all the time. We need criticism. It helps us to grow. It helps us to grow. There it is. Would you rise with me as I pray? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the words that you have given us, your holy scriptures. Even though the scribes and Pharisees had them and didn't understand what they were looking at per se, we understand that the love of God is poured out into our hearts, and then we have to return that love to you. And that is the key that opens the scriptures. That is what we need. We need to love each other. So here at the Heart of Christ Church, we love God, love others, and we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 1783.